Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Attorney General Kwame Raoul, welcome back to WGN Radio. Thank you for giving us your time today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You got big plans? You're going to go cuckoo bananas tonight?
Oh, no. Mellow and safe. get together with friends for dinner.
Yeah. Well, I described you earlier. You probably didn't hear it, but I said the always serious Kwame Raoul. You not only have a serious voice, but demeanor. And I suppose that serves your office well. I do want an attorney general that seems to act and sound like you. You're not the sort of person I would expect with a lampshade on his head tonight.
Well, not tonight. I can't say there won't ever be a time where I step out of character. My wife and I will enjoy saying goodbye to 2025 and hello to 2026 with a few friends.
There's a couple of stories we wanted to talk to you about. One of them was a story that a few of us have talked about here on the radio this week, and that is the story that was in the Tribune, hundreds of employees investigated by the state of Illinois improperly took millions in PPP loans. I guess it's not shocking, although we've kind of put that whole business in the rearview mirror, but now it's surfaced how many people ripped off the state, ripped off all of us by illegally applying for those payday loans, those grants. Some of people were getting $20,000 and $40,000. What should we know about that story, Kwame, and where is it right now?
Yeah, it's horrible that people were taking advantage of loans that were being put out there by the government for trying to keep our economy going and for businesses that were truly suffering as a result of the pandemic. And unfortunately, a lot of people took advantage of that, including state employees and the office of the executive inspector general had investigated a number of cases, and they referred about 94 such cases to our office for a potential prosecution.
Yeah, that was an interesting line, I thought, in the story. They said some of these will be referred for criminal prosecution, and I thought, all of them should be referred for criminal prosecution. That's theft. You can't do that. Maybe it's more work than is necessary. That is, the effort doesn't maybe justify the return, but it would seem to me like where you do find these cases, there should be charges, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, and there's all sorts of criminal activity at takes place at different sorts of levels, and there's only so much law enforcement capacity that you have out there. We take every case seriously, but some are far more egregious than others. And when given between the Office of the Inspector General, I think we got 20-some cases from Cook County, 8 from the Tollway, and 2 from DeKalb County, we try to triage the best we can with the staff that we have to make sure that we can have a complete investigation, because we don't get everything that the inspector general went through in their investigation. So
right.
In many cases, we have to reinitiate and put a case back together.
Well,
and we've been successful. I think there's only one case in which there was a not guilty. We got most of these defendants to plead. But I would love to say that, you know, we can go after every single person out there that violates the law.
But as a matter of business, I don't suppose you have the resources, nor maybe is it even your responsibility to investigate all of these cases. Rather, somebody needs to discover the case and report it to your office. Or was there ever a dedicated team of people that were looking into this? I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars were going out, and I don't know how you could have monitored that.
to put it all in context, and people sometimes misunderstand the role of the Attorney General's office in the whole sort of ecosystem of law enforcement. We have maybe 50 to 55 prosecutors and about 20, maybe 23 investigators statewide. And I'd love to say our portfolio is all PPP loans, but it's broader than that. We deal with organized retail crime, murder cases that some counties cannot handle, variety of gun trafficking cases. So the whole gamut. The primary prosecutors in most counties are the state's attorney's offices. At in Cook County, you have the biggest state's attorney's office. So we try to leverage the best we can with law enforcement partners, including state's attorney's offices and police departments, to cover what we can. But we don't have the capacity to conduct every single investigation of every criminal act within the state of Illinois. That's not our primary role. This in particular, with state employees, was something we thought important to step in on once we got the referrals.
Yeah, well, and I guess that's where the Tribune came in with some of this reporting as well. And I guess it's just a reminder that should there be another pandemic or some other reason for massive sums of money to be distributed in large scale to a lot of people, that inevitably there's going to be some sort of fraud or abuse. And perhaps it all happened so quickly that there wasn't enough time to put in safeguards or to monitor it. But there's just too many people too willing to rip the system off.
Another factor that occurs, sometimes it takes time for the OEIG or whoever to conduct these investigations. And by the time we're getting a referral, we're pressing upon a statute of limitations.
Yeah.
And so we've got to triage and do our best to hold those bad actors and the worst actors accountable, but hopefully as many actors as we can. One thing I do want to highlight in all this, as I went through my long explanation of our role in law enforcement, is that we do have some tremendous partnerships, both with local as well as federal law enforcement partners. Sometimes, whether it's communication coming from Washington or otherwise, we're characterized as obstructing federal law enforcement. On the local level, we have tremendous partnerships with ATF, DEA, FBI, Homeland Security. And unfortunately, there's a different narrative being put out there as a result of some of the immigration controversies that have taken place.
Well, I know you can't talk a lot about that, but you did bring it up, and I did want to ask you about that. What tools do you have to combat the way the Border Patrol agents have been running through the city and suburbs of Chicago? What legal tactics do you have? What can we hope that will defend people from unlawful arrest or detention?
Yeah, so, the legislature did put forth an act recently that has been challenged by the federal government. We're reviewing the lawsuit, but that put restrictions on locations and so forth, for instance, courthouses. It's important to note that in the United States, we've created a certain type of visa that we allow folks a pathway to be here legally if they aid law enforcement, if they come forth as a witness or a victim of a crime. And we don't want to discourage that from happening. But if you have these people descending on the courthouses, that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's going to lead to criminal activity taking place without accountability.
Yeah.
Because witnesses are fearful of coming to court.
I want you to clarify that, Kwame. Excuse me. I want you to clarify that. There is a streamlined process for migrants in Chicagoland, in this state, in this country. If you cooperate with an investigation, if you are a witness or report a crime, that will expedite your citizenship process or give you a certain sort of visa?
It's not automatic, but if you are somebody who's otherwise law-abiding, contributing, if you're working and paying your taxes and on top of that, you're helping out law enforcement, there is a visa process for that. There has historically been a visa process for that.
And your worry is that if we are showing up at the courthouses to actually arrest people or detain people, then that will discourage that very process.
Well, set aside the visa process. It'll discourage witnesses and victims from coming forth. And thereby,
for any crime, yeah.
Allowing a perpetrator, somebody that may be guilty of a murder, a rape, or some other serious crime, to go free without accountability because witnesses will not come forth.
Yeah, but some of the municipalities in Illinois are saying, okay, federal agents cannot stake out or gather in certain spots. This is our property. It's not yours. Who has jurisdiction here? If the federal government sends in Border Patrol agents, but we're a sovereign state and these are sovereign cities and municipalities, who has sway? Who gets to decide?
Well, I think, that all is going to be litigated out and the lines will be clearer over time. All sorts of tools have been put in place by the federal government to crank up their numbers, the immigration enforcement numbers. And listen, there's an immigration enforcement job that has to be done, and I'm respectful of that. That's the reality. However, there's within cities, within states, there's a certain order that we want to maintain. For the safety of our residents at large, and so I think that's why some of the municipalities have said that there are certain sensitive places, schools and courthouses, that we don't want Border Patrol agents who don't have appropriate law enforcement training to be raiding our schools and our courthouses.
Right, but about that, do you have jurisdiction? Like, okay, say that preschool teacher at a public school that everybody seemed to like and think was doing a good job. I know Border Patrol characterizes her differently, but she was dragged out of that school. Do we have the right to keep federal agents from going onto that property? Who's sovereign there?
So all private property, unless there's exigent certain circumstances or probable cause to know there's criminal activity going on within, can be kept private, right? Now, if law enforcement is pursuing a criminal that has run into a school or run into a building, that creates exigent circumstances. But, these agents do not have the authority to go into private residences and other.
What if they have a warrant? But if they have a specific warrant, then can they?
Oh, yeah, if they have a warrant, of course.
But we have seen, boy, I have not seen the video where they have a piece of paper in their hand that's a bona fide warrant for an individual by name. That's maybe a different sort of case.
Well, what we've seen, and I want to highlight this before I get off.
We have to wrap up this conversation, but make that point, Kwame.
Well, we had a recent win with the Supreme Court, and in that case, with regard to the National Guard, in that case, in the pleadings that the federal government put forth to try to justify the deployment of the National Guard, it was laced with lie after lie after lie. And at some point, they said the facts don't matter. The president has the ultimate authority to deploy the National Guard. Unfortunately, we were successful at the Supreme Court with regards to it. Their effort to have our temporary restraining order stayed.
Understood.
That's a huge, huge victory.
Although it is also worrisome to some advocates for what you just said in that, okay, because the Supreme Court also said that you don't deploy the National Guard, but they all left the door open for regular forces, the Marines or the Coast Guard or the Army could actually be deployed. Do you worry about that?
Yes and no. No, I think what they were saying, there was a discussion around regular forces.
Yes.
That what does regular forces mean?
Right.
I don't think they left the door open. They what they said is that the government has to demonstrate still is this a situation where you utilize the Marines? Does the Marines do local law? Do the Marines do local law enforcement?
I would not be surprised if that was not attempted, if they would not try that, and then we'd have to maybe adjudicate it again, right?
I think we'd be successful.
That's Kwame Raoul, the Illinois Attorney General, who will not be wearing a party hat at midnight tonight. Kwame, it's nice to talk to you. Thanks for your time today.
You as well.